B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Score from another team and go through. Talk about getting the bounces. They got two bounces consecutively on the double doink against the Bears in order to advance in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
This team doesn't have any of that magic. And anytime you got to rely on magic, you're relying on chance. You're not relying on skill. And I understand the old adage, I'd rather be lucky than good. When has this team been lucky? I mean, the best win of the season was against the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
They
got lucky, exactly. They got lucky. Green Bay threw it four straight times.
I will say this. Offensively, they won that game. They went out and did what they needed to do offensively. They played a smart game. I remember we were talking about what kind of game plan you want to see them have in that first half against the Packers, and we saw them execute it perfectly. They did. It was as if they literally took the game plan from us themselves, right? It was perfect. The blocking was great. The screen game was great. Running was great. Everything was awesome in that game. But they did get lucky down the stretch. They threw it a bunch of times with a great quarterback, but they never tried to just run the ball in from the one-yard line. Instead, they tried to take it. I mean, lucky, Craig James comes in and makes a play at the goal line to break up a pass. Comes in hot off, just cold off the bench, comes in to break
first
up a play.
First NFL play
from scrimmage, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, from scrimmage, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
And he comes out there and he breaks up the play. We haven't really seen Craig James since.
Yeah, I was just about to ask, where is Craig James?
Yes, he's still around.
He's still in the locker room. Okay.
But it's just wild to see that this team does not have that magic, that luck, whatever it might be. When I talked to Zach Ertz last week, he said it's going to take one big offensive game from this team in order to feel like they're back on track. Well, they got a pretty decent offensive game, and unfortunately with Zach dropping a couple of touchdowns, they could have very well had an even bigger offensive game. But the offense still had a big game. Defense played their worst of the season.
Does he really believe that? It's going to take one offensive
This was before
game.
They lost to the... No, he thought in order to find their offensive rhythm, it was going to take one game where they were clicking on all cylinders to be able to carry that momentum through the rest of the season.
Wow.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
And then they played the way they did against the Dolphins, and he had two drops that would have been touchdowns.
That's kind of scary that if they really believe... Like you said earlier, Mark, they think, we're good. Don't worry about it. We're good. Zach Ertz really thought going into this game that if they got things going on all cylinders for a game, they'd be okay.
Well, we were talking about like a get-right game.
You have to believe that as a player.
As a
though.
Player, you have to believe that you're that one play away from turning things around.
I mean, you have to have the ultimate optimism, of course, but reality has to check in at some point.
Again, I'll stress it again. This is before the Dolphins game.
Yeah.
I do have to tell people, of course, that 6 o'clock hour was brought to you by none other than United Rentals Power and HVAC for all your power generation and HVAC rentals in the tri-state area. Visit UnitedRentals.com. And you are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Coming up in this segment here, we have some sound from Brett Brown responding to harsh criticism of his team and another piece of NBA news. First, the James Harden situation last night. Did you see this, Trey?
Mm-hmm.
This was absolutely insane. James Harden got a fast break in his game. And this is going to introduce a little contest here for you, and we'll get this going. James Harden gets a steal, about 7:50 remaining in the fourth quarter, and dunks the basketball. But the basketball goes through the rim, catches the bottom of the net, and flips back over the rim.
It was Doran Boss magic.
And it like bounced around the rim and then rolled off. And the guy keeping score during the broadcast tacked on two more points.
Right.
The ref comes in and blows it off. The ref says, no good. You missed the dunk. Because the ball flipped up, it went through the rim, through the basket itself, through the net, flipped up in the air, bounced around the rim a couple times, and then rolled off. If you just look at it, it looks like a miss, but you kind of look at it and go, wait, did that go through? Replay, they didn't replay this, by the way. The ref just said they missed it. The game ends up going into double overtime, and the Rockets lose to the Spurs. So without the Rockets, I don't think they have filed a formal protest yet.
No, there was talk today about they haven't yet, but if they do, it's either they're talking about overturning this or playing the last 7 minutes of the game.
I believe the report after the game was that the Rockets said that they're hoping they don't have to protest, that the NBA will come up with this on their own. The NBA, I think the head of officials said that, oh yeah, that ball went in. Now, the NBA, I don't think this has happened in the last 20 years. The NBA has replayed final moments of games before. I don't know if they've done the last 7 minutes and 50 seconds. So they might have to replay that game. The last 7 minutes and 50 seconds, because 2 points were big. This would have put the Rockets up five with under eight to go. It's a remarkable thing that happened. I've never seen this before.
I hadn't seen the play. I read about it this morning, and I was confused. I was like, wait, what happened? But I don't know. Something else came up, like Jamie started talking. And I didn't see the play yet, so I want to look it up and see
it's
exactly
pretty wild.
What it was.
I bring this up.
Because when I first saw it, I thought it was a miss. Like, I understand how they missed it.
Well, I saw the net move.
I saw the net move, but it didn't look like it. It, like, looped back up and did, like, a miraculous turn. It was weird.
It's completely weird.
Yeah, it's
I've
really
never
bizarre.
Seen this before.
Is weird.
Yeah, I've seen. Okay, Bob, how much basketball have you watched?
Yeah, probably a few thousand games.
Is that one of the weirdest things you've ever seen?
Is the net too long?
I
hear it is in slow motion.
Or is it too tight that it, like, catches the ball and whips around?
Right. It's so weird.
It's
100% a basket.
Yeah.
But when you watch it live, because I saw it live.
Well, even Harden goes after the ball, too. You're right,
yeah.
Mark.
Yeah, because, and then he looks at it and goes, no, wait, that went through.
Yeah.
And it did. At first glance, you're like, oh, it's a good dunk by Hart. Wait a minute.
What just happened?
Because you see the ball go back on the rim. And you're like, how the hell did it get back up there? I just watched it go through the net. And it flipped back up on the rim and bounced around a bit. So they're most likely going to end up replaying this game. I think it was 98 the last time they had to do something
that's
like this.
Wild.
Yeah, it's insane. So
it's if that's the case and they replayed it, it doesn't count in the standings until it's replayed. That's bizarre.
It is bizarre. It's bizarro world. And again, it would have put the Rockets up 5 points with about 7:50 remaining in the game. The game ended up going into double overtime. How insane is that? So I asked this question today with a wild non-call last night. If you could redo the closing minutes of any game in Philadelphia sports history, keep it recent just for some younger audience here. But if you could replay, we'll give you some Temple tickets.
When you say that.
I did not look at you, Bob.
Oh, 1960 NFC Championship.
You were live at the game, right, Bob?
Actually, Bob, I
was conceived at the game.
Oh.
Oh.
Butch? You freak.
It's a football game.
Butch threw a snowball at Santa and then said, let's make a baby. That's what happened.
Are you sure it wasn't a battery?
Whoa, easy. Hey, a battery?
A battery in the snowball.
She would not throw a snowball at Santa, Mark.
That's too recent of history right there. But in all seriousness, with respect to the Rockets and what happened last night, they're most likely going to have to replay the end of this game. It's insane. What's the thing that you would replay? What would you go back and replay? Something that you would have to replay here in Philadelphia sports history.
I like that question.
We got Temple tickets. We're going to attach to that. We're going to have some good times with that.
And
just
by
bring
the way,
up some fine memories.
If you haven't seen the dunk, I retweeted it from the station account, so you can check it out live there.
And it was a dunk.
Yeah.
Factual was a dunk. And everything they replay in the NBA, they don't replay this.
I know. What the hell?
Stupid. Idiots. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. And as always, please bring some fine sports conversation to the table. 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank. Are you frustrated by escalating HR costs and legislative compliance? There's a simple solution. It's time for Univest Employee Benefits. Visit univest.net to set up your free benefits analysis today. This is an interesting thing, staying in the NBA now. Sixers didn't play last night. However, Brett Brown got to address some comments. Now, in case you missed it, this went viral, I believe, 2 nights ago. And we're going to jump into it here. In basketball, the assistant coach of, I believe it's, is it the Pacers?
Yes,
came out.
Dan Burke.
Dan Burke came out with some harsh words.
Burke's a jerk. I'm sorry.
Very nice. No, that's good. He came out with some harsh words for Joel Embiid. This was like at a practice or something. He randomly gets asked about the Sixers.
It was the Pacers practice, I believe. Yeah.
I think they just lost to the Sixers, and they put a microphone in front of Pacers assistant coach Dan Burke. And here's what he had to say about Joel Embiid.
Yeah, I hate that team. I really wanted to win that game. I think Embiid gets away with a bunch of crap the league ignores, and it would have been a good one to just walk away from.
Hate that team. Joel Embiid gets away with murder and a bunch of crap. Whatever.
Good.
That's what you want them thinking, right?
Exactly.
Well, I think Brett Brown shares your enthusiasm for how wrong Mr. Burke is here on this situation. Here he is. Here's Brett Brown responding to it yesterday at practice.
What would you want them to say? Like, what would it look like? You know, who are we? You know, whether it's style of play, whether it's character, whether it's deep, whatever it is, it's an interesting question to ask. Like, how do you want to be judged? And to your question, it would be received as a compliment.
That's, exactly.
It's a feather in your cap.
Yes.
You own real estate in their head.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what you want.
Yeah.
Brett went on to, this was even more adorable.
This is great.
Brett went on to talk about this a little more.
I would bring him to my house for Christmas, and he could share in the Christmas dinner. And are you saying he hates it because of we play physical?
He didn't go into why the team. He did say something along the lines of he thinks Joel gets away with, his words, a lot of crap that the league lets him get.
Well, he would not be able to have dessert, but he would, because I don't agree with him. But he could still eat at the house if it was delivered the way you just said it. If it was offered as a compliment to bully ball and tough and physical, and yes, we have a post-up team, dinner. If he's hitting Joel, no dessert.
That's awesome.
Brett.
First, is there any more Brett Brown phrase than share in dinner? Like, there's, he could come to my house and share in dinner. It's a great retort to that comment. And it is a compliment. There's no other way you could put it than a compliment. Oh, you jerk, whatever, gets away from it, gets away with murder, whatever. Yeah, okay, no. Please, think that.
Great players get away with murder.
Yeah. Oh, we're in your head? Thanks for letting us know.
It was pretty funny.
Real quick, Mark, yes. Listener Kevin McMorrow tweeted in, and I hope for his sake they replay the Rockets game. He had a 7-team, $140 parlay last night that went 6-for-7. The one miss was the Rockets.
No!
Oh, man.
So I hope the sports books out there make good if that game ends up being replayed.
Well, you got to.
You have to.
What would have to happen.
Yeah, they would pause it. But
how does it work for ticket sales?
I don't know.
Because what are you going to go to a game for 7 minutes and 50 seconds?
Yeah, it's wild.
It's crazy is what it is.
It's crazy.
610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up, in case you missed the big news of yesterday, Mac Hollins, no longer a Philadelphia Eagle. We'll get into that in just a few. You're on 975.
I think it's incredible.
Damn, mate.
Yeah. Also, top of the hour, a little less than an hour from now, we'll be joined by Adam Schefter. Time of the Fanatic, 7-11.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Coming up, we got a little thing that that fella, our former manager, Gabe Kapler, might be doing this offseason. But right now,
we love it. I think it's incredible.
Something that happened yesterday has some people happy, some people excited, and that's releasing Mac Hollins. And I wish it was more of a accountability decision, and I thought it was, being that he had kind of been falling out of favor as a receiver. Go figure. Over the last couple of weeks, if you look at his last couple of weeks, starting with New England, he played 17% of the snaps, played 4% of the snaps against Seattle, and then played only 10% of the snaps against the Dolphins. So he had been falling out of favor, to say the least, since his wide receiver coach about 4 weeks ago, Carson Walsh, said that Mac Hollins grades out really well. Remember that? He graded really well. He grades well. Plus or minus. More pluses than minuses.
More pluses than minuses.
But unfortunately, I guess he graded himself right out of town. But it is not an accountability issue. It's not an accountability issue for Mac Hollins. It's a roster decision based on trying to protect a guy on their practice squad who other teams had interest in. That's it. It's not, get out of here, you're not good enough. Everyone, we're going to hold you accountable now if you don't perform. It's, no, we just want to protect someone on our practice squad. Cool. No accountability still on this team. And I was hoping, after the loss to the Dolphins, I even put this out on Twitter saying, somebody's going to lose their job over this. Somebody has to lose their job over this. Somebody has to be held accountable. Even if it's a small, if it's an assistant coach being let go, if it's a player being cut, and the player I thought first and foremost would be Mac Hollins. Turns out he was cut, but not because he was being held accountable, only because they were trying to hold him. So basically, if no team knocks on the door about Opeta for their practice squad, Mac Hollins is still here.
Still here.
Because all we got We all we need. Mike,
that's
go ahead, Bob.
Making me throw up in my mouth. That saying anymore.
We all we need.
Good morning, everyone. Yes, Mike and Delran. What's up, buddy?
Breakfast.
Yeah. Hey, Mike. Hey, buddy.
Guys.
Hey, man.
Hey, I don't care if Brett Brown loses every game forever. He can stay the coach forever. That was probably the coolest answer or retort I think I've ever heard a coach say about the whole dessert and stuff. That was awesome.
He will share a dinner.
Yeah, that was something. No dessert. Just dinner. You know what? I just find it really odd. I wanted to talk about this yesterday, but I had to get off a little before I get on. I find it very odd that this locker room seems to be falling apart the same year after the Eagles refused to give Malcolm Jenkins that extension. And, like, you know, you looked at all the other guys who've gotten paid so far, like Lane Johnson and a bunch of the other guys, and they didn't value anything. They didn't value Malcolm Jenkins enough to get him that contract extension. Do you think he's, like, sitting back and just not doing the same things he may have done behind the scenes over the last couple of years to keep these guys together? Because it's clear that there's absolutely zero leadership in that locker room.
I don't think he's poisoning the well, because the locker room drama dates back prior to any contract dispute with Malcolm Jenkins. I wouldn't think that he's poisoning the well. But what I do think is that because his play has dropped off on the field, his voice, I don't think, carries as much weight as it has in the past. And I'll go back to this, because you can still say, oh, he's an accomplished veteran, he's won two Super Bowls. You can say, for as much as we loved Brian Dawkins, I remember he went through a stretch where he missed a couple of games. I want to say it was 07 or 08 maybe. And he was seen on the sidelines, like, trying to get guys into it. And I was told by another member of that secondary that it was like, hey, if you ain't playing, you know, you got no room to talk. And I'm like, it's Dawkins, though. And it's like, yeah, it doesn't matter. If you ain't playing, you got no room to talk.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, I disagree with that 100%.
Oh, as do I, but that's a player talking. That's not me.
Yeah, I don't know. But guys, listen, just to be a favor, remember, I want you to remember something. There was a Giants team that snuck into the playoffs and beat the defending champs Super Bowl Patriots, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I've been watching too much on social media and Twitter and Facebook and even on the radio, all this doom and gloom and boycott the game and boycott next week's Monday night's game. And you know what? You're not a fan if you think that way. It's not over until it's over. And if this team sneaks into the playoffs and they start making noise, I hope the people calling in and all the people posting them go silent, because I don't want to hear from them. Go, Birds!
Thank you, Mike. I'm the same way. I want this team... Here's the dirty word again. I want this team to make the playoffs.
Of course. Of course. Of course, of course. Because think of it, the week leading up to it. If they make the playoffs, they're home.
Mm-hmm.
So you got the week leading up to it. You have another week of high anticipation, of fun. It could be a Saturday night game. It could be something different. It's another party. It's another tailgate. It's another... Yeah, everybody wants another game.
Aside from the party aspect of it, and this is the drum all
day
and all day.
That's the only reason I want it.
No, but all seriousness, I want to see Carson Wentz in the playoffs.
Yeah,
I want to see him get that experience under his belt.
I said that a few years ago when we were talking about the Sixers, man. Oh, they're going to win 40, 50 games. My first thing was, no, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Just get into the playoffs. These kids need to know what it's like to play in the playoffs. And you hear them, right? You hear Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, you hear them reference the playoffs all the time. You're exactly right, Mark. Carson Wentz has to get that feeling of what it's like to have to win a game to keep going.
Yeah, and Trey, my voice won't carry as much weight as yours. I'm quoting a player that told me that about Dawkins all those years ago, which is still nuts to me, but that's what he said at the time, the player said. You don't think Malcolm Jenkins is doing anything to poison the well?
No, I don't think so. No, but I do believe, like you were saying, like your play is an amplifier to your voice.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're out there holding it down, doing everything, and you're making spectacular plays, and you're not giving up a lot of stuff, then when you say something, it carries a little bit more weight. But when they see, they're looking at the same film as everybody else. You know, that's just like even when I went back to Andre, went to the practice and went to Andre Dillis. Now, I'm somebody that played in the game for 12 years, and I tried to give you something, it was like a blank stare. Just like, you're like, who are you again? I'm tired right now. You get it out of my face. But that's just how it is. You know, you have to, it's the people that sit within that locker room. And sometimes, you know, I don't think he's poisoning the well. I definitely don't think he's poisoning the well.
Malcolm Jenkins not poisoning
Malcolm
the well.
Jenkins, but you know, you got to make sure that your play is at that certain level too when you want to stand up on that soapbox.
Yeah, and I know that he's gone out there after games and he said, "Yeah, that needs to be my play to make." And he's taking accountability for himself. He's held himself accountable, which is good. But still, if you're making those mistakes, it's kind of hard to then be the enforcer with somebody else saying to Jalen Mills, hey, what are you doing trying to draw that penalty? You just jump up in the air. Maybe the receiver doesn't make that catch. If you don't flop, maybe the receiver doesn't make that catch. And Jalen Mills will look back at him and say, hey, how about that blown coverage there, Malcolm?
Yeah, you know, exactly.
So that's the way that works, unfortunately. Dom in Allentown has something on this Rockets game. What's going on there, Dom?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, buddy.
You touched on it a little bit after I called, but what happens if you know anything about if you put money on the Rockets game?
Now, let's be honest with me, Dom. Did you put money on the Rockets game?
Yeah, I did.
No, I don't know what happens. I assume that you bet the game, so you have to take into consideration if they do replay the last 7 minutes and 50 seconds of the game.
You think money will be refunded?
I don't know. I can't speak for all the different casinos and now all the different sites that are out there you could bet on. I can't go there with you, but I would assume they would have to because it's the game's not over.
Right. Now, to touch on the Eagles, I think they're afraid to hurt feelings. Because you're telling me that they cut a wide receiver who the wide receiver coach said that he was grading well and doing his job for somebody on the practice squad, even though they're thin at the wide receiver position. And they're going to cut him because they want to protect the linemen.
That is correct.
Makes no sense to me.
No, Don, that's where we're all at, man. Thanks for the call. Now, Tim McManus tweeted out last night that the Eagles cut Mac Collins because they wanted to promote Opeda off the practice squad in order to protect him as they were getting calls about him. And you could just sign somebody off the other team's practice squad. So in order to protect him, they release Mac Collins. They promote Opeda, who is a guard on the offensive line. Yeah. He's a guard. And that's it. That's the only reason they did it. So Mac Collins would still be here playing for this team, despite no production from Mac Collins. And I tweeted this out yesterday. He has as many touchdown receptions in his career as the place kicker of the Miami Dolphins. A guy you drafted as a wide receiver has only one touchdown in 3 years. He was injured last year, but he has one touchdown in 3 years since being drafted. And you have a place kicker that has one touchdown as well, and that's Ben. That's ridiculous.
Do you remember that touchdown he scored? The lone touchdown he scored?
Oh, it was awesome against the Redskins Monday night. I was at that game, yeah.
It was a bomb. A bomb. It's exactly what he did at North Carolina all his years there. It was all the highlights that we saw of him. I haven't seen him run a fly pattern since.
Yeah, no, neither have I. Not at least not one that Wentz hit him for.
Exactly. What happened?
I don't know. I wish I knew.
It's like Corey Clement's shoulder. It's like, you know, all the injuries, the guys that are injured, it just disappears. Plays disappear. The passes, the wheel routes to Miles Sanders that went for so many yards in games like 4 and 5, it disappears. I mean, there must be a magician down there just taking things away from this team.
Well, his injury was a lot like, I mean, I remember Jamie asking, is Mac Collins dead? And Mac Collins even said, as he rode to the NovaCare Complex on his bike for training camp, hey, I'm not dead. Hey, guys, I'm here. He even tweeted that out himself. And I felt for him. I read the story. I think Dave Zingaro, Ruben Frank wrote it for NBC Sports Philadelphia, just saying that the struggles that he had in coming back from that injury. And my heart went out to the guy. Hey, good luck to you. And then this year, you hear him talk about how he'd rather play special teams than be a wide receiver, which is just ridiculous. And then you see no production from him on the football field. I actually had some hopes after week two because you might have needed a receiver. After they played the Falcons in a game he had 5 catches, I'm thinking, all right, get this guy back involved. He had that long touchdown against Redskins. Haven't seen any of it. Haven't seen any of it. And again, just to go to the numbers, the Eagles have more or less phased him out over the last couple of weeks. And you can't do that. You can't do that even a little bit.
Nope.
And if you have any confidence in a receiver, but no, they show they don't have no confidence in him. But all because you got a phone call about a guy on your practice squad. That's why you released Mac Collins. When we talk to Adam Schefter at the top of the hour, is this going to be the type of thing where Mac Collins passes through waivers and you could re-sign him to your team? Or like, is he eligible for the practice squad? Trey, do you even know that? Is Mac Collins eligible for the practice squad? Is this going to be the type of thing?
Don't even do it.
No. But I agree. I'm not disagreeing with you. But is this going to be the type of thing where he ends up coming back anyway?
He's the new Jordan Matthews.
He's the new Jordan Matthews.
My God, I hope not.
Why can't Jordan Matthews just be the new Jordan Matthews? I have more confidence in him than I do Mac Collins. And I know the wide receiver, I know the quarterback wants to throw him the football. 610-632-0975. Trey, you working on something special for us?
What's up?
You got something special for us?
With what?
I don't know. Talking about a little line play, if we will.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got a little of that today.
Trish talk, yeah.
Because do we want to move it back a day, or you want to do it today? Because we got a Monday Night Football game.
Oh, that's right.
What are you feeling?
Monday.
What are you feeling?
I'm ready now.
Yeah, of course he's ready, man. The man lives in a state of ready. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a Monday Night Football game. On this Wednesday, though, we will be breaking down Eagles Giants with a little trench talk with Trey Thomas.
So here we go. We got the New York Fighting Giants.
Fighting.
Yes. Two wins. Right? That's what we're looking at. Yeah,
we remember the same talk last week.
Yeah,
about
we
the
had
two win Dolphins.
No.
Yeah.
Underestimating no opponent.
we cannot. Not anymore. All right. So here we go. Let's just go over the numbers real quick.
Go for it.
All right. Total defense, they're 26th in the league. They're giving up 372.8 yards a game. They're giving up 28.5 points a game. Their passing defense is 25th in the league. They're averaging 8.5 yards a throw. 258.6 yards a game in the air. 62 yards has been their longest pass. They've given up 22 touchdowns. They have 10 interceptions, 26 sacks. And I'm going to tell you what, their quarterback hits. Guess how many quarterback hits they have?
50.
69 quarterback
hits. Nice!
Yeah! There you go.
They have 69 quarterback hits.
Nice.
Yeah. So, all right. So then we go to their rushing defense. They're 21st in the league. They're giving 3.9 yards a carry, 114 yards a game. 41 yards has been their longest run. 13 touchdowns, 4 fumbles. They've given up 70.5 tackles for a loss. Well, no, they've accumulated 70.5 tackles for a loss. My bad. So, this is a defense, again, man, you know, it's just like going into Miami again, you know, where you got a front. Golden right now is their leading sacker. He has 7.5 sacks. You know, he's going to have to be someone that you're going to have to look out for. I mean, you know, he's also leading the charge when it comes to their quarterback hits as well. But, you know, this is another one of those games that you should go out and handle your business. But, you know, who knows how it's going to play out.
The Dolphins game, really. Now, if you're having this approach, right, as an analyst now, as a player, what's the approach after you get embarrassed in a sense of what was a home game and nicer weather for you in late November? What's the approach going into this game? Because you can't take them lightly.
Yeah, I know the offense is going to have to come out there. They're going to have to continue to do what they do well. Let's get back out there. Let's run the ball. You cannot abandon the run. You can't have a situation where you come out in the second half and you only run the ball 7 times. I mean, you know, that's something that has to change. You need to stick with it. Also, too, I think that they're going to continue to get some of the things that give them problems. And you saw a couple times where some of these games, I mean, they don't handle games well. Kelsey was getting his block knocked off a couple times from the penetrator. They don't flatten the penetrator. I don't understand why they don't flatten the penetrator.
I think it has to do with the 69
it's
hits.
Football 101. When it comes to handling a game, you must flatten the damn penetrator. Flatten him. So that you can give whoever who has the looper a chance to redirect and pick him off so that now you can go back to the looper. You have to flatten the penetrator.
Who's
please.
That? Who's that fall on, Trey?
Please, for the love of God, flatten the damn penetrator. All right. And also, too, you know, who else can fall on? You know, this is something that has to be worked on. It has to be coached. It has to be looked at in film.
Jeff Stoutland.
It has to be reinforced.
Stoutland.
You have to flatten the penetrator.
I think you're saying Jeff Stoutland.
Yeah, please.
Jeff Stoutland.
Flatten the penetrator. All right. And also, too.
We need T-shirts that say flatten the penetrator.
You got to flatten the penetrator.
We got to.
It's picking up games 101. Flatten the penetrator, and then after everything else, it all takes care of itself. But number one, you have to flatten the penetrator.
Mm.
Stoutland.
All right. Then now, I'm pretty sure you're going to get some tackle games because that has been a problem. I wouldn't even be surprised if they come back out with that Amiibo front like what Miami did. And when I say Amiibo front, I mean, they got this a lot in the Miami game where you have everybody's just standing up, moving around. Everybody's moving around, and then once the ball is snapped, everybody takes off. They gave up their first sack was off of one of these games where you have 49 was moving around, and you have to be extremely disciplined when you're dealing with an Amiibo front because you have to say, okay, this guy's the known rusher. He's going to be Mike. Hey, running back, you have whatever your dual read is. You got to take care of it. Here you got 49. He started off in the middle, came all the way around, and then there's your first sack. So, you know, for everything that has given this group a problem, just expect it again, because here you have a team that has absolutely nothing to lose, so they're going to give you everything that they have, just like Miami did. But, you know, I think our offense last week, they got 31 points. I mean, what did they score?
Should have been enough. 31, yeah.
Which should have been enough. You know, we're going to have to look at what the defense did next for tomorrow, but... You know, just flatten the penetrator, man. For the love of God, please.
I think I know what your message is.
I mean,
do you even want to tell us who has the advantage in this game?
Think we have the advantage. Who knows?
Yeah, I'd like to say we do as well, but after that Dolphins game,
I can't even believe it.
Any ounce of confidence is just shot in the foot.
But flatten the penetrator. Let's just start there.
Come on, man.
Flatten the penetrator. And Kelsey, man, you can't jump everybody, man. If you see the guy stutter stepping right there, he's just holding you. Back up a little bit, because here comes the damn loop. Here comes the penetrator.
You are rubbing your eyes right now because the penetrator's not flat.
I don't know.
But they worked up a little bit of a sweat on that trench. Yeah, that's good.
So that has been trench talk.
Yes.
With Trey Thomas. Yeah. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you. Wow. Don't think I don't appreciate you. People are tweeting me right now about the game in Houston. Or it was actually in San Antonio, but it was Rockets and Spurs. And they're saying, well, how do you replay the game if there's 7 minutes left? It's, you know, 7:50 basically is what was ready or left in that game. I don't know. I just know that the NBA has done it before. And I think it was 20 years ago the last time they did this. But the reason I'm thinking they are going to replay it is because Houston has not filed an official protest. Everything that's come out has been from the league office.
Has there been an official ruling? I haven't seen anything yet. I was looking
as to whether or not they're going to replay it.
Yeah,
no, so nothing official yet.
So that's what they'll wait for. Yeah, they'll wait for an official ruling and then act accordingly on their part.
And somebody is tweeting me. Somebody's hitting me up on Twitch as well, saying how can they replay this game if there's 7 minutes left? That means they have to replay everything that would have went into it. Not really. This is a bucket. Like this is the only, I can't remember a bucket being disallowed that clearly went through that wasn't a goaltend or you know, offensive interference or whatever it might have been. I can't recall any play like this.
That's what Harden gets for trying to dunk. You know, just go ahead and finger roll it. You know what I'm saying? Like the referee was like, hey, ain't no way.
Yeah.
No, there's absolutely no way that Harden got up there and dunked.
It's the craziest. If this happened in Philly, we'd be losing our minds. Oh, yeah, especially absolutely. If the game went to double overtime and you would have went up 5 with about 7 minutes left in this game. Yeah, it's pretty wild. 610-632-0975. Coming up, right when we come back, we're going to let you hear every Flyers goal from last night because the Flyers remained on fire last night. 610-632.
Playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
0975. We got Mark and Reddy. Wants to talk Eagles. Let's talk Flyers. Got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Adam Schefter coming up at the top of the hour. But right when we come back, every Flyers goal from last night. They won 6-1. Not too shabby. Time of the Fanatic, 741.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Coming up in just a couple of minutes, we'll talk to Adam Schefter. But as promised, ladies and gentlemen, last night was an incredible Flyers game. I was tweeting the closing seconds of the game, how exciting it was. Oh, talk hockey. Well, we do talk hockey. We've had other pressing issues we've had to address, but we do talk hockey.
By the way, Mark, Carter Hart's done you some favors in that jersey bet with one Bob.
Yeah, we need to change this bet.
2.35 now goals against with a 91 save percentage on the year.
Because neither one of us won a jersey. It was a dumb bet to begin with.
Oh.
Let's go beer bet. You want to go beer bet?
Case of beer?
Not a case. Well, what's a case? Yeah, a case. Because I don't drink a case of beer. I'm not going
to
have a case of beer.
It's good to have it at the house.
Bring it to your house.
Yeah, you put it outside in the winter. It stays cold. It's always there for you. And then we'll come over and drink it.
If Carter Hart has a sub-250 goals against average, Bob, you have to come to my house and drink a case of beer. Let's make it a beer bet.
All right, go beer bet. All right.
It's even cheaper than a jersey, as a matter of fact.
Beers bet.
Beers bet. Yes. Done. Dunzo. You know what else is dunzo?
Did you see the beer bet real quick?
What's that?
That was posed to Allen Iverson when he was a young player on the Sixers?
It was Allen. I saw one with Lou Williams.
Iverson bet on Lou Williams.
Yeah.
So Iverson and a couple other players said they would give him $15,000 if he would drink a six-pack of beer on a bus ride.
And the bus ride was like 45 minutes or something like that, not even.
Wait, how much money? $15,000?
Yeah.
$15,000 to drink six-pack.
That's the greatest bet ever offered to anyone ever.
In the history of humanity, yes. Well, see, here's the thing. Okay, we'll get to that in 1 second. Well, more on that in 1 second. But as promised, Flyers goals from last night, including the 5 that they scored in 10 minutes. Here you go.
And Haynes tried to dance by a man to the right corner. Gains control of the half wall again, looking for skating room. Spins off Austin Matthews, goes to the net. Backhanded, Fred, they score! Scott Naughton tipped it up over Anderson for his turn of the year. Great setup by Hayes, and Lawton makes it 1-0 Philadelphia. Gostisbehere winds it down the wall and in behind the net. The Leafs wrap it back in on the end wall. Konechny in front, they score! What a setup to Giroux! Travis Konechny sets up the Flyer captain, and his ninth of the year makes it 2-1. 2-1, the Flyers head the other way. Konechny with Giroux. Konechny looks, he shoots, he scores! Travis Konechny buries it for his 10th of the year, and a 3-1 Flyers lead. It's an empty net for Joel Farabee. That goes to the post, and he scores. Farabee finally knocks it home for his third goal of the year. The empty netter, and the Flyers are going to win this 1-0 away. He comes to Gostisbehere, skates in, winds and fires. He scores! And Gostisbehere wants in on the party. His third goal of the year, and that makes it 5-1. One more chance. Van Riemsdyk walking in. He scores! On the backhand! And they're piling up now as Van Riemsdyk scores on the breakaway to make it 6-1.
Absolutely unreal night for the Flyers. Their hot streak continues. They're one of the best teams in hockey. That's fun just to talk about, just to say out loud. But more specifically on those goals, the first one where Kevin Hayes put in all the work along the boards.
Great control on the puck last night.
Absolutely incredible. He's in the right circle, comes over into the slot, and he's able to put the puck on the stick of, I think it was Lawton who put it in. Unbelievable work by Hayes. Lawton finished it off perfectly.
He had a great penalty kill, too, that the crowd got really into towards the end of the first period.
Yeah, that's because we know pucks in this city. All right?
You know,
that's because we know pucks.
That thought did enter my mind. Like, is Kevin Hayes, like, you have to appreciate that if you're a player.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about that. And then the last goal, I should say, James Van Riemsdyk, Philip Myers with an incredible pass from goal line basically to opposite blue line. Mm-hmm. It was the longest pass completion we've seen in Philadelphia.
And Myers was responsible for the TK to Giroux goal, too, because he had a nice poke that sent it behind the goal to TK. So he had a nice game last night.
Zamboners are up.
Zamboners are paying attention.
Well, no. This is the Zamboners are extending past the regular Zamboner area. You know what I'm saying? This is now bleeding into even more of the mainstream with how well the Flyers are playing.
It's approaching 4 hours. Medical advice might be needed soon.
Get in touch with doctor. I'm getting in touch with everybody.
Yeah, exactly. What were you saying before that? The betting thing? The drinking?
$15,000 to drink a six-pack?
$15,000 to drink a six-pack in like an hour ride.
Trey, you'll love this because you know how baseball players just light money on fire. Our good friend, the late, great John Marzano, told me a number of stories about being on flights with guys like Randy Johnson and Ken Griffey Jr., the guys that were making that money versus the guys on the kind of the end of the roster, the 25th man type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the guys to play poker with. When you're on the flight, Because those guys don't care. They'll go with, like, all in on every hand, whatever. They keep just putting money down, whatever. You'd get, like, your Christmas bonus on those flights just based on those guys being like, yeah, 15 grand, no problem. And then Lou Williams made me think of that because of the story that came out most recently about the 15K. And it was a short bus ride, too. It wasn't a long one.
It was like an hour.
Yeah. And
it's a good challenge.
What was it? It was a six-pack of beer.
In an hour.
See, here's the thing.
Of what? Some Schlitz?
If you had to drink a six-pack in an hour, I guess it would be like Michelob Ultra.
I could do that. And I am the worst beer chugger. I might be worse
at
chugging.
A slight, slight man.
Yeah.
And in his younger years, he was even...
But he's got two girlfriends. Yeah, so I could imagine he could pull off a six-pack.
And what's the fun fact about the two girlfriends?
They know about each other.
They know about they know each other.
They coexist.
Yeah. It's all in under the same roof.
He's basically a Mormon.
Yeah. But cooler.
Yeah.
So he apparently drank the beer. He made the 15 grand, I believe. I don't chug beer. I can't. I'm terrible at it.
I can't chug beer.
I'm like Aaron Rodgers level of chugging beer, right?
Yeah.
I could definitely do that, especially if 15 grand is on the line to motivate me.
Yeah, I think I could too.
You know who can't chug beer? Adam Schefter, and we'll talk to him in about 4 minutes. Mark.
You know what he can do?
What's that?
He can pass kidney stone.
He can pass a kidney stone.
that's from what I hear.
That's got to be brutal.
Yeah.
That's why I don't drink coffee and tea.
What?
That makes kidney stones?
That's what I heard.
Oh, really?
Somewhere along the way,
I have honestly never heard that.
No,
yeah,
me neither.
A lot of tea and all that. Yeah.
Oof.
Does it count as espresso as well? Because I really don't drink coffee.
I drink water.
Gotcha. Mark in Reading, what's on your mind, Mark?
Well, hey, man. I wanted to ask what coaches do you think would be fired at the end of this season for the Eagles?
Mike Groh, Carson Walsh.
No D coordinator?
Mike Groh is the offensive coordinator. Mike Groh and Carson Walsh.
Walsh. Schwartz is going to get fired too because of how he can't adjust to the game plan for what you've seen.
What? This argument of Jim Schwartz not adjusting the game plan is ridiculous. It really is. Like you ask who's going to be fired, it's going to be Mike Groh. It's probably going to be Carson Walsh, their wide receivers coach. I don't think Jim Schwartz is going to get fired at the end of the year. The adjustments that he has made are numerous to talk about. To talk about a guy who likes playing that wide nine defensive front, relying on his front four to get that pressure, has totally done an about-face, especially through the middle portions of the season, to get more pressure on the quarterback when he's had injuries on the defensive line, like Tim Jernigan and also like Malik Jackson. So he has made adjustments throughout this season to totally get away from what we're used to seeing him do because he knew he wasn't going to get pressure with a subpar front four. So he has made the adjustments this season.
Okay.
Thank you, brother.
And one other thing.
Yes.
The Flyers, they were a one-point underdog last night, and they put up six goals.
Yeah, man.
61. Do you think as well Mike Raffle getting hurt for 4 weeks is going to hurt them as well because he's a defensive forward?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly doesn't help, Mark, and thanks for the call, but I think that they got so many different guys contributing to how well they're playing, and it's not just a hot goaltender or anything like that. So many different guys are stepping up right now. Yeah, Michael Raffle being out doesn't help, but I think they'll be able to be okay. I think the stretch will continue with how well they've been playing. It's been multiple guys helping out.
You know, they got two late goals later. They're two last goals, and you think they're kind of meaningless, but... For Gostisbehere to score again, I think it was the second straight game that he scored after being a healthy scratch. Mm-hmm. I think that's huge for him.
And JVR.
And JVR just needs to see the back of the net. Like he's got to start doing it. And he was just called out recently also.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.